Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 37 and a new mum. And when I was on the fence about becoming a parent, all I heard was, but you'll never regret it. Now I've got a baby though, so which bit of your pre-kid life do you miss the most? All of it? Thought so. Now, despite deciding to baby, there's still loads more to find out from both camps. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network, where I chat to baby wanters, baby rejecters, and everything in between to see why we decide to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I chat to my husband, Dan, about life as new parents.
I think if any couple that had a six-month-old did an interview reflecting on their 6 months and didn't have the kind of conversations we're having, I would be questioning what's gone on behind those closed doors.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend, Camilla.
You are indeed now. The Dan episode, the hubby.
I feel like these episodes are more for like the super fans who are like super invested in our life and Lenny and everything else. But to be fair, it's quite nice because I feel like you don't often talk about the real nitty gritty stuff in just day to day conversation. And so actually sitting down and properly getting down and stuck into it is a good thing.
Definitely. Like almost like a therapy session in itself.
Indeed. Now, we'll get to the therapy stuff in a bit, but how are you feeling about the impending birth?
I don't really know how to feel. I think because I had such a good birth with Chester, I feel quite nervous that like something's going to go wrong this time, because in my head, I don't know, maybe there's a false sense of security that because it was a good birth, this one's going to be a good birth. And it might not be, but I'm really hoping it is going to be. And as of like sort of, I think tomorrow or the next day, I can hopefully have my home birth.
Woohoo!
So keep everything crossed that this little lady just stays put for a few days more.
How much do you remember about the, I don't want to dwell on this and like scare you, but how much of it do you remember about the pain? Like, are you like, that's going to be awful?
Yeah, I don't think you can ever truly remember the pain, but I do remember thinking, whoa, this is hardcore. So although I can't like kind of emulate it in my mind, I know what's coming a bit.
Which I suppose is a blessing and a curse. Are you also very excited about the gas and air, because you were bang up for that before?
Oh my God, I'm looking forward to that. But I'm also slightly worried about what I might say. Because I mean, last time there was some corkers. So I was talking about designer vaginas.
Speaking of designer vaginas, are you concerned about the state of what your vagina will be like after two?
To be honest, I'm concerned about the state of my vagina now. There's a baby heavily weighing and, you know, it's definitely, yeah, there's some weight on there. Let's just say that.
I wondered what you were going to say then. I was like,
oh. It's not looking its best. It's not ready for 21st of June yet.
So season one, we didn't know whether we wanted to have a baby or not. Season two, we were pregnant. And season three, we have a baby.
I mean, season one, you say we didn't know whether we wanted to have a baby or not. You didn't know. I think we can all attest to the fact that I think I'd said yes from day one.
Yeah, and why had you said yes from day one?
Because you were saying no.
No, because it has particularly now the baby's here and I've seen the evidence of this, it has such a lower impact on your life than it has on mine.
That's bullshit.
No. It's absolutely not. Be serious.
I mean, I didn't have to carry her for 9 months.
Okay, wait, hang on. What percentage do you think having a baby has impacted your day-to-day living? Or not necessarily a percentage, but on a scale of 1 to 10.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Quite a lot.
Shut up, it hasn't.
I think my day-to-day life is with you. My day-to-day life is... No, day-to-day, like, I go to work in the back room. Yeah, in those hours...
That makes it sound like I set him to task. I go to work in back room.
Yeah, no, in those hours, very, very little difference. But, like, Work is probably, for me, minimally impacted. But every other element of my life, including every waking and sleeping moment with you, is impacted, even if it's not directly by her being there. It's impacted because your life's impacted and therefore our relationship's impacted.
Okay, so it's my fault.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. No, but the point that I'm making is my day-to-day life has been impacted on a scale of 1 to 10, 10.
Yeah.
And I would say...
Oh, look, if I was putting a number on it
from the outside in, I would
like
say yours
five.
Is 3. No, 3.
Feels like a 5.
It's like
though.
When you're on those work conference calls and people will be like, oh, you know, how are you getting on? You're black. Yeah, fine, actually, you know, she slept really well last night. And I'm there thinking, she bloody didn't. I've been up 3 times with her in the night and you just don't even know because you don't wake up.
Well, I can only observe. I can only comment on what I've observed. And if I've had a good night, then what am I going to say? I don't want to be one of these people that's, how's it going? Oh, it's all doom and gloom. It's
no,
so bloody tough.
I don't want you to feel
like...
doom and gloom, but I feel like sometimes not only are you not experiencing the reality of it, you just don't even know because you're not experiencing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You've literally just answered your own question. I can only experience what I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I sleep like a log.
I know. It's a good skill, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a handy skill at times.
Yeah, even,
like
if,
this.
Even if it means you hate me on a regular basis.
Oh, honestly, on those early months where I was up multiple times a night feeding her and you'd be there starfished, snoring away in the bed next to me, I would genuinely grip my teeth with resentment.
You still do that now.
I do still do that probably now. She just doesn't get up as many times through the night now. Thank the Lord for that. No, but let's not nitpick at each other all the way through this.
Just most of the way.
No, because no, one of the things I'm concerned about, which we'll talk about in a bit, but one of the things I'm concerned about with doing this interview is, it's not an interview, this convo, is that someone's going to set up a Just Giving page to pay for us to have relationship therapy or couples counselling, because they're going to hear it and be like, are they okay?
I think if any couple that had a six-month-old did an interview reflecting on their 6 months and didn't have the kind of conversations we're having, I would be questioning what's gone on behind those closed doors, because I think most new parents have experienced pretty much everything that we have in one way or the other. Resentment, hate, sleepless nights and all the bad stuff, along with all the good stuff, which I guess we'll come on to as well.
Okay, but... well, that's what I was going to say. So how are you enjoying being a dad?
I love it. I do feel like a bit of a part-time dad at times, in terms of, you know, once I'm up and 10 minutes in the morning, go to the office, or I guess once when I'm not working from home, I'll go to work, and then you're on all day, and I come home and I have maybe, 45 minutes, an hour before she goes to bed, and get a bit of playtime, do bath time, done. So those parts, they're just kind of bit functional, really.
Yeah.
But the times when I do get to spend time with her, even if it's just in between calls, or and particularly on weekends, and, you know, Friday afternoon was really nice this week. Just got to spend a lot of time with her while you were doing some work. Then, yeah, it's amazing. I think you can't honestly put into words like the love that you have for this tiny human, for her, for Eleni, and therefore every second that you either, even if you hear her across the house, or you're sat with her, or better when she's happy, but even when she's not, like when you're just every minute that you spend with her and look at her and see her, I don't know, smile or laugh or playing, it just fills you with such an amazing feeling of overwhelming feeling of like joy and happiness that you just I've never had before, and you can't replicate any other way, and you can't really explain to someone that's not felt it.
When you put it like that, it's almost irrational the amount of love and joy you feel when, if you put it all down on paper, you'd go, nah. With me, the love and joy that I feel inside definitely outweighs all of the negatives, but it is, in terms of the day-to-day impact on your life, it is the relentlessness of caring for a baby and how thankless at this kind of stage, how thankless it is. And you do get those, because you get those smiles, you get those laughs, you get those little lovely moments, that they're the kind of thanks that you get, but there's limited sense of achievement for what feels like a relentless Groundhog Day level of graft that you put into it. And I'm really conscious that I'm saying all this and someone's going to listen to it and be like, oh, I was on the fence and now I'm like, oh, no, 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 that sounds awful. Because the flip side of that is I stand by all of those things, but I'm like, sign me up for another one.
I know you are. And I've always said I wanted more than one anyway, but the thought of having another one now for me is like, really? It ain't going to get any easier, really, but let's just get out of the a bit out of the woods before we start thinking about going again.
Well, I'm not allowed, am I, anyway, because no. I had a C-section, so we've got to wait. But isn't that the most weird thing that I'm like, yeah, let's go again?
Yeah, no, it really is. When you first came out of it, I think about spat my tear out because I wasn't expecting it. And I feel like most people that know you, even those that know you really well and have seen you, how much you've taken to like being a parent and being a mum and how much you love it, even those people, when they initially hear you, I mean, they'll be overjoyed, I'm sure, but they'll be like, really? And like I said to you when you first said it, I was like, between now and when we actually can, it's quite a lot of time. Mm. And I think I told my mates about it and they were like, and I was like, yeah, she'll change her mind at least 6 times between now and then.
I haven't.
Babe, it's only been about 4 weeks. I've got another year to get through.
Yeah, but she's 6 months old and I think I've been... I'd say for the last 2 months I've been adamant. No, I think if I'd done this when I was younger, I'd be like, at this stage, I'd be like, let's go full Von Trapp.
Do we have to have a whistle and everything?
When you say full Von Trapp.
Yes.
Like, how many would you have had if this had been much earlier?
Well... this was a couple of weeks ago when, let's face it, Eleni was sleeping better than she is now. But a couple of weeks ago, we had like a family Zoom thing with Dan's family and it was a Saturday night and everyone had got dressed up and we were having a couple of drinks, which obviously a couple of drinks always makes you kind of be like, woo, yeah, life is great. And I was saying to Dan, I think we should have 10.
10?
And Dan was like, I don't think 10 is going to happen. And I was like, no, okay, I am joking about 10, but I would have 5. And he was like, we're unlikely to be able to have 5. And I was like, no, but I would definitely have a lot more than 1. And then obviously I woke up the next day a bit hungover and then having to deal with a baby, I was like, oh, thank God there's not 10.
Although they do say, and I've heard this quite a lot, going from 1 to 2 is like a massive jump and you're like, whoa, this is... huge. But then going from 2 to 3, it's just like, meh, another one in the mix. And I think that can kind of then have a follow-on effect. And you're like, add a fourth, add a fifth, you know?
Yeah.
But personally, I'm not for the Von Trapp life.
Let's talk about the impact that having a baby has on your relationship. Is it what you thought it was going to be, better or worse? I think I know the answer, but just putting those options out there.
I think, yeah, it's definitely been a bigger impact than probably either of us imagined. And don't get me wrong, we're still sat here next to each other as we're still married, we're still friends, we still talk to each other, we still like each other, we still love each other, I hope. But, like, there are times when you're literally just, like you said, you kind of end up resenting me, or we end up, you know, when you've had no sleep and she's kicking off and you've literally get to the end of the day and you've had her for, I don't know, 12 hours on your own. And sometimes I feel like we barely even say a word, you know. I'll get up and have her for a little bit, maybe to change a nappy and then go to work. You have her all day. I see you briefly at lunch, get home, we get her ready for bed, put her to bed, eat dinner, sit in silence watching telly for about an hour, just unwinding, and go to bed. and then like it's like you do that for 2 or 3 days and you're like, hang on a minute, we haven't even had a conversation about anything other than how was that nappy, or when did she last feed, or when she do a nap, like that. I feel like all your conversations just revolve around that, and And then you have to kind of take a step back sometimes, which we had to do the other day. Just
yeah, but that's the thing. I think I would say over the last month, probably, we've had to have weekly, at least, deep and meaningful conversations because there's been some level of intense disagreement or intense kind of feeling of you don't understand where I am coming from, or you don't understand how I'm feeling with something, or I don't understand how you're feeling with something. And I feel like our relationship has been tested way beyond anything that I thought it would be with a baby. And one of our antenatal friends, Hayley and Steve, Hayley said to me that she thinks that after you have a baby, you have never felt closer to your partner because you have this amazing thing that brings you so much love and happiness. And it's a bit of me and a bit of you, and we created this magic together. But then at the same time, you've never felt further apart because the impact, and I'm saying this because at the minute you are working and I am doing the majority of care, etc. So for us, your life has stayed more the same and mine hasn't. And there is resentment and there is a, you don't understand this. You don't understand where I'm coming from. You don't understand how I feel. You don't understand why this is difficult for me. And I think that's been hard.
Mm. I think what Hayley said is absolutely right. I can't explain how much I love Eleni, and see, and knowing that she's here because of you, because we're together, makes that, and seeing you as a mum makes me love you more, because A, you've bought that, but also you see a different side to someone when they're a parent. Like, seeing you with her, it's just, it's so endearing. It's so, so attractive to see someone that has that side to them that I think you just don't experience until you have a kid together. So absolutely, you feel closer than ever before. And I feel like we're not just partners, we're not just married, we're actually now a family. But yeah, of course, there are times that the relationship's tested within that. But for me, it's minimal by comparison. It's a bit like the would you baby or not, again, knowing what you know, and absolutely you would.
Defo. But it's weird as well, because we had an argument a couple of weeks ago to the point where we came up to bed and we were talking to each other, but only just. And I'm lying in bed thinking, like, if this doesn't work out, what is my life going to look like as a single parent? And oh my God, imagine if we break up and then Dan will get a girlfriend, and how will I feel about Dan's girlfriend then meeting Eleni, and la la la. And like, I literally went down this like rabbit hole, only briefly, but now I can't even tell you what our argument was about.
No, I honestly can't tell you what it was about. And because a lot of the time it's ridiculous. And when you told me that you had those thoughts, I was like, are you actually joking? Like, that almost implies that we were at the point of like walking out on each other. And
yeah, no,
were we
I know.
Absolutely
I...
nowhere near that even at the time? No. And now looking back, it was even less important than that. Like, that implies it was a 10. At the time, you probably felt like it was more like a 6 or a 7. And actually, it was probably, with hindsight, like a 3 out of 10. Like,
don't belittle my feelings. It was a 6 out of 10. Eleni agrees.
No, that was an absolute... I was just laughing at how ridiculous you are.
I think as well, we've been watching too much Married at First Sight Australia, and I'm watching all these couples fall apart, and it's making me like question our relationship, and do we need John from the MAFSA therapy couch to come and therapy us? Sometimes I think it'd be good to have some therapy.
Do you reckon?
I actually do.
We're sat on a couch now. Like, we're on the back bedroom sofa. We're just talking to ourselves about these things.
Yeah, we couldn't do this interview on the bed because Eleni's in our bedroom.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we did the last two interviews on that bed, and we've...
I thought we were going to be able to do it on the bed this time because we'd put her in her own room, and then she rejected it and had to go back in our room, so...
Yeah.
That was nice that you were saying, though, that it makes me more attractive to you, seeing what I'm like as a mum. Like, am I how you thought I would be as a mum?
Yes, to be honest. I think when we first talked about this, I'd said to you, like, I think everyone that knows you said to you, you'll be an amazing mum. You've got a lot of love to give. You're so caring. You always think of others first, and you're always giving. So I always said to you, that's why I think you'll make an amazing woman. That's why I want to have children with you. And so, yeah, when I see you with her now, I'm not surprised at how good you are. It doesn't make it less attractive or less amazing that you are like that. But I don't think I'm surprised by it. but it is nice.
I'm surprised by
I know you are, and that's what makes me laugh.
No, but I am surprised by it, because I'm surprised by how much I, despite everything I've said, I'm surprised how much I love this role of caring for a baby. And I think it is because I knew that I would love her, or at the time we didn't know what it was. I knew that I would love the baby immeasurably, but the amount of love, you're like, how can I even muster this up? Like, how do I have this much love in me? Like, I know I'm a loving and a kind, caring, considerate, thoughtful person, because I strive to be all those things, and I think part of that is an innate thing in me. But with this, it's like the love that I had before was like a pond, and the love that I have now is like Niagara Falls.
I mean, interesting comparison. You could have gone with like a sea or something, like, you know, a still, like, not a moving body of water, but that's fine.
I get away. Yeah, but this is the point. You can't.
No, you can't rationalize it.
Describe it. So that's
Sorry, I thought I was waiting for you to go like the Pacific Ocean.
No, because like Niagara Falls is just like a constant like gushing of water. That's the point.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Didn't mean to like, undermine your love for her.
My new favourite game, check it out.
No, you laugh. One thing we haven't really mentioned, and you talked about that, the impact on your life and our lives. But I think one thing that still amazes me and frustrates me at times a little bit is the fact that since she was born, very quickly went back to trying to do work as though you didn't have her. Like, so within 3 weeks of her being born, you're back on the radio.
Yeah.
Then you launched a new podcast series and did all the interviews for it and all of the stuff around it as well.
That was all of those things were stupid things to do.
Yeah. And yes, I know your radio's dropped down a bit now, but even now you're still working a day a week just doing writing, and you're doing that literally in the moments of downtime you get when she's napping. A lot of people take 6 months, even 12 months maternity leave because it's so bloody draining and tough in those first times. And hopefully, you know, I don't think it's had any impact on the time you're with her, but what it does mean is every moment downtime, even if it, you always say to me, people say nap when they nap, and that doesn't work.
Oh, do you know what? No, that those people who say that can get in the bin, because that is the most ridiculous thing. As an adult, you are not programmed to go for a nap at 10 a.m.
That's not true. I could nap. I can you fall asleep no time.
But so, as you said earlier, sometimes she naps for 45 minutes. Sometimes she naps for 10. It would take me at least 20 minutes to get to sleep. So then, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No,
I could rest in that time.
The point I was getting to was, that's your argument for not napping, but napping isn't the only way of resting. Like, once she's gone to nap, just putting your feet up on the sofa and just not moving for 45 minutes.
I know.
And maybe closing your eyes, maybe watching trash TV, but not like working. And obviously with your radio stuff in you, I've got to have this show recorded. The amount of times that you were like, I've got to record a radio show tonight between 5 and 7. And then she hadn't, or this afternoon between 1 and 3. Hopefully she'll nap in that time. And she'd go down for 5 minutes and wouldn't nap.
Mm.
And that the amount of like stress and pressure that puts on you and therefore on us collectively, particularly
that.
Until you stop doing it, was immense. You know, looking back, I think you would say yourself that you did too much too soon. And actually that would have reduced the kind of pressure you put on yourself and on everything.
Yeah. And again, part of that was naive thinking of like, oh, well, you know, babies will nap. And so you can do things when they nap. And it doesn't work like that. And part of it was also fear, because I didn't want to put any of the plates that I was spinning down, because then someone might take the plate away from me. Does that analogy work? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I've mentioned it in the podcast before, but, you know, radio, like people said to me, oh, this will be it. This will be a radio career over. And so I didn't want to step away from it, because I thought it might be if I took time off. When you're self-employed and you work contract to contract, it doesn't work like that. You just go, oh, okay, well, bye then. And yeah, we had to get the podcast series in before it's Camilla's fault. She was having another baby. And plus lockdown and therefore not having any additional support or help to do any of that stuff. So yeah, I look back at that and that was stupid. So sorry.
I mean,
but that did put additional pressure on us. And
no, but I wasn't trying to point out even to be like, oh, you're stupid. I think it just takes, sometimes it takes a bit of time to take a step back and recognise those things. But actually, you should be really proud of yourself that you got through that. You did those things. You have carried on doing all the things you wanted to keep doing.
Yeah.
And found a new balance, which is a different balance, probably not one that you ever expected to find. And we survived.
Mm. What do you think you're like as a dad compared to what you thought you would be?
Bloody amazing, to be honest with you. I don't really know what I expected myself to be like as a dad. I think I've been as expected, which is, well, I've tried to do everything I can to help you with her, to support you with her.
I think you've been a brilliant dad. I think that in the early days, you were really good at being hands-on when you needed to be. And, you know, when I first come out of hospital and I was asleep and you were like, oh my God, but she's had no sleep. I don't want to wake her up to give her a feed, but I think Elena needs feeding. And you just gave her a bottle. And that was amazing that you took the initiative to do it. You know, you didn't just assume, oh, well, Naomi's been doing everything, so I'll just ask her. I think that now you've gone back to work and you're working from home. I actually think the working from home thing has been amazing in the sense of you've had a bit more time. But I think it then adds that additional kind of weird thing of like, you're here. So I sometimes feel like you should help me. And then I feel like you're not really helping or being interested, but then actually you're in work mode. And I think that then causes a bit of a weirdness around. Yeah, no, do you know what I mean?
No, like, I do. You've said a few times, you know, work robot. Actually, so there are times when it would be better if I wasn't in the house, because then you know I'm not here, and you know you're doing your way on your own, and that's it. And you know that I'm getting back at half six, whatever. And then from that time, you're back and you're not at work, whereas, you know, I'll come in this room, shut the door, and I might as well not be here. And it's tough for me because I, you know, I feel a bit useless as well. You know, I'm sat there, and particularly if I'm on a call, you know, I can hear her kicking off. I can hear you struggling with something, or she's not going down to sleep, or you whatever. And I'm like, you feel helpless.
But how do you actually feel about having another one?
I absolutely want, and I do absolutely want, I've always wanted more than one. I mean, we said this the other day, didn't we? Like, I think we would like to have another, but as you know, probably as well as anyone in the world, after all the people you've spoken to, like, it's not as simple as that.
Do you know what? I think that's another thing that's driving me to be like, let's do it now, let's do it immediately, because I know I'm getting older and all these things, and it might take a while and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm just like,
yeah.
The idea of waiting to be able to try and then waiting again to see, oh, well, how long is that going to take? And yeah.
Yeah, no. And
let's not project too far ahead.
No, let's not project, exactly. Like,
stuff on my plate.
I think, you know, if we had to make the decision today, yes, no, do you want another 100% yes?
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting for a second that we might not change away from that between now and when we actually can start thinking about trying again.
I'm not changing.
But
why are you changing?
No, I'm not suggesting I'm going to change, but also, it's not
good. Generally, she is good.
She's amazing.
I've said all this stuff about her, and generally, she's so
honestly
good.
Honestly, amazing.
Like, look, she's been all right down there. She's just been on the floor playing for most of this interview.
Yeah.
You're a good baby, you are. We love you.
She's just happy as Larry, very content, just staring up at her mobile and smiling away, bless her. No, I really would love one. I'd love one for as much for her sake as for our sake. I'd love, you know, I love the idea of having a family, and I love the idea of her having a sibling to grow up with, even if they end up hating each other for periods and fighting, like I'm sure all siblings do. But yeah, no, I think it'll be lovely too.
Let's do it. Not yet.
Just another year.
Just another year to go.
That's fine.
Until then, let's just ride the wave. And
thought you were going to say something else then.
So as a professional therapist, Camilla, do you think that we need therapy, or are we normal?
Well, firstly, I'm not a couples therapist. But you're totally normal. That's not to say that you shouldn't have a bit of couples therapy if you feel it would be good, because I feel like everyone should have a bit of therapy at some point in their life. And if that's as a couple, great.
I do think watching Married at First Sight Australia has made us think like, oh, quite like to do that. Quite like to sit on the couch and have someone like help us talk through our communication issues.
Yeah. Well, it is very helpful, isn't it? Because you've not got, when it's just the two of you, you've not got that like mediator in the room. Sometimes when I'm around you and Dan, I feel like I'm the mediator in the room.
Yeah. I did say to Dan, like, I was worried what it was going to come across like in the interview. I was like, are people going to, like, is someone going to set up a GoFundMe page or a Just Giving page? Like, these guys need help. Pray for Naomi and Dan.
No, you're, like, so totally normal. And actually, I could really relate to the him working from home thing. Ed is back in his office now, but at the first lockdown, he was working from home a lot. And I was exactly the same, like resenting him quite a bit that he was there, but not there to help me. I do think it's better when he's at work and we yeah. know when he's getting home.
I didn't think that should be resentful, but it definitely is there quite a lot.
Oh, yeah, I get resentful. I resent him more for kind of having his own thing, because I feel like I don't have time to have any of my own things.
Oh my God, well, this is one of the things with us. One of the things that I am resentful of is the fact that he will sometimes have a choice in things. So for example, today, the house needs cleaning, like desperately needs cleaning. So Dan was like, oh, I've got a really busy day, so I'm going to be finishing work a little bit later, but we'll split the cleaning. And then it transpired that actually by the time he finished work and then I was going to be recording the podcast with you, there wasn't time for him to do the cleaning. So I was like, well, you're then going to spend no time with Eleni. So, and he was like, well, I can either do the cleaning or I can help with Eleni. And I was like, well, I'd fucking well love the choice to do the cleaning or to look after Eleni, but sadly somebody's got to do it. Do you know what I mean? They're the things that I'm like, oh, well, look at you having a choice. Like, sometimes in the morning his alarm will go off and he'll snooze and snooze and he'll be like, oh no, because I've set a few alarms so that I can get up on the last one. I was like, well, that's bloody brilliant for you, mate, but when my alarm goes off, i.e. Eleni crying because she needs feeding, I can't snooze that one, can't snooze this one, can't snooze her. Do you know what I mean?
Also, I hate when people set loads of alarms. Ed does that as well and I hate it. I'm like, for fuck's sake, just set an alarm for when you actually have to get up, because otherwise you are waking me up every time your sodding alarm goes off.
This was the thing recently. Because Eleni is still in our room, we have a light alarm. So the ones that like are meant to like recreate the sunrise in your bedroom. Dan's been setting that 15 minutes before his actual alarm so that he can come round. Well, I tell you what that does. It wakes the bloody baby up.
Oh my God. No, I'm not about that life. Anyone who sets more than two alarms, have a word with yourself.
Follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media. We are at Tababy or Not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it massively help us out, we love your reviews, please do it, but it'll mean that you definitely won't need couples therapy.
See you next time on Tababy or Not Tababy.
Miss you already.
Love you.
Love you more.
Love you more.
Bye.
You hang up. No, you hang up.
No, you.